Welcome to Bisexual Killjoy. My name is Bailey Merlin. I am a bisexual researcher, advocate, and writer. I'm currently sitting in a closet. Not a metaphorical closet, like a literal closet. Came out of the closet a long time ago and for some reason have to keep coming out of it, but I digress.
Well, welcome to Bisexual Killjoy. I am Jaiseline. These days, though, I go by Lynn mostly. I am a sociologist, a graduate student, a purple enthusiast, and your local neighborhood bisexual academic. I'm from Puerto Rico. I came to upstate New York to study bisexuality and to research and make space for what it means to be bi plus in this world right now in academia. And it's something I think I do mostly out of self-defense to make sure that we exist and we remain and we are recognized as such.
If the bi plus community had an animal mascot, what mascot would it be?
I am somewhere in between reclaiming the unicorn for ourselves as a magical, mystical creature and not as something to be hunted.
Yeah.
And stealing the BRC's idea with the bee, because I thought that was cute.
It is cute. For some reason, bi plus people seem to really gravitate towards frogs, which I think is very cute. I think that bisexuals should be represented by the American opossum. I say American specifically because it's like our only marsupial and it's super cool. But opossums are tanks. Nothing can kill them. They are so scrappy and they'll play dead to get out of a situation. And they are very fierce and protective around their young. Anyway, they thrive under any condition. And I think that bisexuals are inherently resilient and that we are chameleons in a lot of ways. And we can just sort of be wherever we need to be in that moment. And if I need to eat on pizza crust scraps today, I will. And if tomorrow I can go be in a bakery and eat some good food, I'll do that. Anyway, that's my soapbox about opossums. I think they're so cool.
I'm here for it. An opossum is like the state of New York. You have the wild city.
Yeah.
And you have rural upstate, and we can be found anywhere in between. I'm here for it.
Exactly. And, you know, we could have someone draw an opossum with a cowboy hat on, because that also feels right.
I'll learn how to crochet an opossum plushie.
Okay. And then underneath, we'll put our script, like, Bisexual Killjoy. I'm just really trying to push for the opossum to be the mascot for our show. I really am.
Okay. I'm here for it. We can make little bisexual killjoy, certified bisexual killjoy cards, and a little opossum can be in the bottom instead of your picture, an opossum.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God, and you joined the opossum posse.
Yes! Stay on the lookout for a monthly subscription tier named Opossum.
Yes. Oh, and we partner with an opossum sanctuary and they get a bunch of bisexual dollars that are just like, I want to follow the opossum cam today. Anyway, let's talk more about what a bisexual killjoy is, shall we?
Okay, yes. So, Bailey, I'm hoping that maybe you can share a little bit about the first time you heard the term bisexual killjoy. What came up for you?
So it's literally whenever we had our talk. So just for some background, Lynn and I got connected to work on a paper together through the Bisexual Resource Center, which is based here in Boston, where I live. And we talked a lot about bi-erasure and biphobia. And as Lynn learned to like me a little bit more, they were very good in sort of talking about this phrase that came up in class for them, this book that you were reading, and it's Feminist Killjoy. And this is what you were talking about earlier. But then this idea of taking it and being a bisexual killjoy, and I'll be honest, it took like 3 or 4 times of you explaining it to me for me to get it. But that's how I learned, like through repetition. And, you know, when I finally got it the 4th time, and I'm sitting here thinking like, yeah, bisexuals are inherently a killjoy in a really cool, really punk sort of way. Because we, those of us who feel comfortable enough to be killjoys, not all of us do, it's calling out biphobia and bi erasure and saying like, no, not today. Not today, Satan. I will not be moved to the side. Do you know what you're doing right now is really biphobic? Oh, are you telling me bisexuals don't exist? Because statistically unlikely. there's statistically like two bisexuals in this room. And I know there are more just based on the demographic of this room. And I felt very empowered to be a bisexual killjoy and to take on that name, that title. And it was so funny to talk about this podcast in a room full of other people who identify as bi plus, because most of them were like, yeah, oh, I really like that. And then some other people were like, I'm not a killjoy. And I still didn't know it enough at that point to like explain it properly. I'm like, no, being a killjoy is a good thing. No, I promise it's a good thing. We should all be killjoys. But I would love to hear more about what you thought as you sort of took the feminist killjoy and applied it more to your identity.
Yeah, I think that what made the bisexual killjoy actually take form and shape and how she came to life was in that conversation of us preparing for this conference. Because I think that I had thoughts of, yeah, you know, bisexual killjoy, this tracks for me as the person who is clearly unwelcome in this classroom and every other one. But as we were talking about queering academia through activism, I think that's what struck me the most, because the killjoy is an activist. And that's how Sarah describes it in Living a Feminist Life and in the Feminist Killjoy Handbook, where she is philosopher and she is activist. And I think that the one maxim, the one equation for killjoys that resonates the most with me as a bisexual killjoy is eye rolling equals feminist pedagogy.
Wait. Say more. First, define pedagogy for other listeners and definitely not me.
Pedagogy is basically just a style of teaching, the act of teaching, receiving information, what happens in a classroom. That's pedagogy. And if eye-rolling equals feminist pedagogy, then that made me feel a lot more empowered and a lot less self-conscious in my classes. Because it's like, yeah, when I had this full semester graduate course, like 3-hour classes every week on the intersection of gender and sexuality, bisexuality only came up when I spoke about it.
No. Like, that's just not even... Okay, look. I'm sorry. Look, this to me really blows my mind, because they bring up these scholars, like the people that you are taught in these WGS classes are gay men and lesbian women. And it's like, we're only going to look at like 10 or 15 people. We're really not going to diversify this conversation by bringing in bisexual writers. And this is what really blew my mind in those classes, is when I went to scholars, people who have been doing this for as long as LGBTQ plus literature classes have been around and were fighting the good fight, right? They say, oh, I don't really know any bisexual scholars. I haven't read any bisexual papers. I don't really have any resources for you. Imagine being a teacher and telling a student, I don't have any resources for you. Bestie, what? And it's just because the bisexual voice has been historically dampened. We're not very quiet, so I can't say silenced, but it's very hard to find us in school settings, in syllabi, anything like that. Anyway, continue. I'm just going to steam and fume over here in my closet.
It's hard. It's hard to find. It's difficult to engage with, and largely because we've been taught to think in binaries. Thanks to one of my mentors from back home, I tend to see things in this like economic, political timeline of sorts. And after the Industrial Revolution, like, we were promised that if we can define everything.
Oh, the Industrial Revolution.
Oh, no.
This was supposed to be a definition. And you're like,
I got you. We were promised that everything can be divided into its parts. We were promised that everything can be simple. And I think that by definition, bisexuality is not simple. By very definition, it is not easily understood and not easily conceptualized or thought of. It can only be experienced. And I think that that's the general consensus amongst bisexual people and people who identify as bi plus overall, where it's like, can you define this for me? And we start treading into these very murky waters of, to whatever degree, you just have to experience it. You just have to be it. Because I love people, and I love connecting with people, And I am confused about why monosexuals are a thing. Like, if they're confused about me, I'm more confused about them.
I want that on a shirt, too. Like, if you're confused about me, imagine how I feel. This brings up an interesting point that, again, we'll talk more about as we move along this series, is the idea of bi plus bisexuality being fluid, more fluid than many, like, gay or lesbian, which are fixed and, like, monosexualities. And I definitely want this space, as we talk about bi-plusness and fluid sexuality more, because when we talk about bisexuality, we also mean pansexuality. We also mean people who are in that fluid sexual spectrum. So I don't want anyone listening to this to perceive this to be gatekeepy to just bi-plus or bisexual. Like, if you don't identify as bisexual, then you can't be here in this conversation. Like, please be here in this conversation. We need to talk about fluidity. We need to talk about how expansive bisexuality is. And we'll get into nuance later. But for now, as you're listening to this first episode, please know that this is a space for you.
A space for all bisexualities. I think that because bisexual literature and research happens to be so scarce, and it's the situation of research happens. It's not that it doesn't happen, but it happens sporadically. And I don't think we talk to each other. I don't think us researchers of bisexuality talk to each other enough. So we all have like mildly different consensus on what the wording is meant to be. Mm-hmm. So when we say bisexual killjoy, this is open to anybody who identifies as bi plus, bisexualities. The term that I tend to use in my work is plurisexuality, in contrast to mono as in one, pluri as in many, and expanding on what that means.
Plurisexual opossum posse. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So I just wanted to make that distinction going forward. And you and I can fight about definitions later, which people would be very rapt by. It'll be excellent. But for an introduction, now that you know us and will grow to love us, if you are a bi plus person, bisexual, and you hear the word killjoy, and it sits a little right in your chest, you're like, yeah, I do feel like a killjoy, then follow along. We'll be having all sorts of guests on this channel, on this podcast, in the hopes that we build community so that more bisexual, plurisexual researchers can find each other, that activists can find each other, and so that you, as our listener, our gentle listener, can understand that you are not alone, despite the fact that you may look to your left and to your right and not know a single bisexual in a 5-mile radius. Statistically unlikely, but still.
Yeah, and I look forward to having these conversations, and I look forward to just engage in this project of making space for who the bisexual killjoy is. What is she attempting to be? I wrote a few tidbits of knowledge that I want to throw out there. This podcast is both a project and journey in defining and exemplifying what it means to be a bisexual killjoy, what makes a bisexual killjoy, and what gains we can achieve by centering bisexuality in our lived experiences. To be clear, we are not killing our own joy in being bisexual. We are joyful because we choose to embrace our bisexuality, and we will not allow others' conceptions of happiness and queerness be the baseline for how we embody this key aspect of ourselves. To be a bisexual killjoy is to be willing to not make happiness our cause, but rather to center our cause in a queer bisexual revolution that reveals and dismantles normative binaries.
T. So follow us along. We will be working hard to be consistent at this project and hope to talk about everything under the bisexual sun. And if you have ideas, you can email us at bisexualkilljoy@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at bisexualkilljoy.
Yes.
Is that even true? Is that our handle?
Yes. Bisexualkilljoy. Okay. All together. No, like, periods or nothing.
Yeah, it's just one word, because bisexuality makes us unified. I don't know. We'll do something with this.
Bailey, do you have a question for you?
Oh my God, it hit me.
Are you proud to be a bisexual killjoy?
What if I just said no and I just left the stage? I just like crawled out of my closet and was like, I'm straight now. Am I proud to be bisexual, Killjoy? I'm going to say no, and it's just because it's a bummer that I have to be, but I'm so happy and content in being a bisexual, and also, I love getting into fights, so in that sense, it does bring me a lot of joy to be a Killjoy. I don't know. What's your answer?
I'm here for all of it. For me, I think that I am proud to be a bisexual Killjoy. And I think, but that's not to say that when this term came to me, I felt identified and proud and excited for it. I think I felt really self-conscious about it. I think I felt really scared about people being angry about the way that they see bisexuality and me having to, I already have to explain bisexuality all the time. Do I have to like also on top of it be like annoying? I think that's the word that came into my head when I said it, like annoying. And I think that the trajectory from then to now has been a journey of heck yes, because these people in my classroom in a WGSS cohort don't know that the Journal of Bisexuality exists. They don't know about my history. They actively misread me and they actively attempt to categorize me in ways that I have already said are not me. So I think that learning to take up that space and being proud in taking up that space has been a real trajectory. And I am very proud that I went through it and I am here today.
Keep being a bisexual Killjoy.
A purple-wearing bisexual Killjoy.
So, Lynn, will you talk a little bit more about the book that led you to Bisexual Killjoy?
Absolutely. So the first time I took a feminist theory class, and I have ADHD, so this may be a roundabout way of defining and explaining things, but the first time I took a feminist theory class was up here in New York, and I was very excited for it. I was very excited to figure out what feminist theory meant. How can it be embodied? I hear a lot about the praxis. I hear a lot about the trains of thought. So I wanted to have this academic take as a sociologist and as someone who really likes to read. And my professor gave us this, not the entire book to read. I think it was like the introduction and one of the conclusions of Sara Ahmed's book, Living a Feminist Life. And in it, she speaks about the feminist Killjoy as a figure. Who is she? Where does she come from? And the idea is that the feminist Killjoy is the woman in the family that ruins dinner because dad said something sexist, because the uncle said something racist. And we're trying to have a nice family dinner, a nice Thanksgiving dinner, a nice Christmas dinner, be what it may. But these comments are being told mostly to provoke the gender and sexuality scholar that is in the room. It's there to provoke and incite. But then he is never the problem. She is the problem for ruining dinner. She is the one who should have understood that that's just who they are. And they're just making fun. This is just a joke. This is just how things are. And I think that in order for things to be a joke, they need to be widely acceptable. This is common knowledge. This is just how things are. And being the person that dedicates a career, a life, to say that is not how things are, that is how you made them, I think that's when you start becoming a problem. And Sarah says this more eloquently than I. To expose a problem is to pose a problem. She speaks about being proud, how to be a feminist Killjoy, how to not laugh at sexist jokes. No, that's not funny. No, I'm not okay with that. No, don't talk to me that way. And in that complaining, you're also taking up space, but you're also taking privilege and space away from the person that's enforcing this kind of power. So in that empowerment journey of like, yeah, maybe the Killjoy is someone who takes away the idea of joy that others have, whether that idea is projected onto you or they themselves are practicing something. And I think that bisexuals embody that in a lot of ways. And considering you threatened to blast my random trains of thought at 5 p.m., I'll share the one that struck me the most that made me think of the bisexual as a Killjoy beyond the classroom. which is saying no to a threesome. The amount of times on dating apps that guys and women with boyfriends are like, oh, you're bisexual, so do you want to have a threesome with me and my partner?
No.
It always struck me so much because I got that question so often on dating apps when I first started going on them that at some point I even felt forced to say yes. It almost felt like, well, I'm bi. Is that not? And if everybody's telling me that this is what that means, then is it? And I think that's like the most intense part of being bi, the gaslighting that happens.
Yeah, the gaslighting.
Are you really bi if?
We'll definitely want to talk more about signaling as we go along, but God, the gaslighting. Yes, I'm bisexual. I promise you I'm bisexual. I promise you I went to bed bisexual and I woke up bisexual. And at tea time, I was bisexual. And at lunch, I was bisexual. And at 3 p.m., I was bisexual. Like, you know, at every moment of my day, I was bisexual. There was never a moment where I just manifested myself into a very straight woman. That didn't happen. There was never a moment where I was a lesbian. There was never a moment where I was like, am I even a person? No, that one did happen. That one did happen. But even when I was questioning, am I real? I was very much like, I'm still bisexual. So the gaslighting alone makes me simmer with fury every day. Thank you for joining these two bisexual killjoys this afternoon, morning, or whatever time it is for you. We have a lot cooking for a series of episodes on bisexuality. And Lynn, give us a taste of what some of them might be.
As we engage in this journey of attempting to define and describe who the bisexual killjoy is and what she embodies, we're going to be bringing in our own voices, other people's voices into this conversation and continue to shape it in accordance to our own experiences, our own knowledge, and how that's going to keep transforming and evolving throughout this project. That includes citing more articles and talking about books we've read on bisexuality. It includes bringing people in, having interviews, and having a nice conversation about what it means to be a bisexual killjoy, an activist, and an academic, and understand and share the different ways that bisexuality informs every single part of us.
So send us your questions to bisexualkilljoy@gmail.com. Contact us on @bisexualkilljoy on Instagram. We want to hear from you. We want your stories. We want your thoughts and questions, comments, concerns. Who should we be talking to? Who do you want to hear from? And in the meantime, keep being a killjoy.
We'll see you next time.